We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman in Canada. And he'll be back there for a game six. Game five tomorrow night in Milwaukee after the Bucks lose 120-102. I thought in game three, it was very frustrating from a standpoint of the Bucks just couldn't get the lead. They would tie the game. They would come within three. They just couldn't get the lead in game three. Eventually got it to double overtime before they took another lead, but still lost that game. In game four, the level of frustration. And I know the stakes weren't as high, but to me it reminded me of the kind of game that was played against the Celtics in Game 7 of last year's quarterfinals. Because what I remember doing in Game 7 was I watched the game at my house, I stood up a lot while pacing, and I just remember in that game going like, all right, 15, it's just 15 points, 12 minutes, okay, now it's down to 13, now it's down to 17. I just remember trying to like figure out a way they could come back from 12, 15, 18 points, and that's what it felt like yesterday. The Bucks, you know, especially late in the mid-fourth quarter, the Raptors pulled away there, and, you know, Gasol's hitting threes, and Norman Powell's playing well, as he always does against Milwaukee, and Ibaka was a beast down low, and it just seemed like, while you may have been optimistic, I didn't feel like maybe mid-second quarters when I thought that this game was probably not going to go the Bucks' way.
I'm still feeling good at halftime, despite being down 10 points. They were down 10 at halftime, and I thought, okay, third quarter's their third quarter. They have not put a run in this game since early the game. Still felt good going into halftime. All right, I mean, they didn't finish the – I mean, Middleton committed a horrible foul. I believe it was
Lowry. Oh, yeah, that was it. That was stupid. The final dagger.
Stupid foul. 3 seconds left. You don't commit a foul down there. Going for a steal. What was he thinking? What are you thinking there? Come on. Middleton, he's smarter than that. And, okay, so it's a 10-point lead at halftime. But I'm still thinking, Bart, starting the third quarter, they get the first bucket of the third quarter, then it was all Raptors. And, they didn't play with the purpose I thought they'd play in that third quarter. And fourth quarter, once it got to 20, it was over. I was done. Early fourth quarter, I was like, nope, this is 2-2.
We try to read every tweet. We try to take every call from you guys, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Rick says, why don't we all just relax, chill, or whatever the team is this time, whatever the word is. Let's do that. The two best records this season are playing the series, and they held serve on their courts. A series doesn't start until a team wins on its opponent's court. That's from Rick. Sean says, Bart, don't ever change. Always be a fan. You be you, and let Chuck Freeman be the beautiful bird that he was born to be. A grumpy, ill-tempered bird, but beautiful nonetheless. Love the show.
Well, I'm not grumpy. I'm the happiest son of a bitch around, so, you know, when people say that about me, I'm not grumpy.
Well, until I mention your trigger word today.
What's that?
Drake.
Oh, Drake. Well, that's not being grumpy. I mean, you don't have to be grumpy to dislike what Drake did last night.
When we were talking about it earlier, there was a tone in your voice.
Tell me if I'm grumpy.
I thought I was going to get a spanking.
Tell me.
Like, I thought I was a bad 5-year-old son, and my dad was mad. When you were yelling about Drake before.
But I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at
you. No, I know, but that level of anger is probably the most level of anger I've ever heard from you on the show.
But I'm angry at the NBA because the NBA lets that slide.
Yeah, it should be a technical.
Drake or me?
No, you got a card at Pfizer Forum for letting somebody else sit in your seat.
How about that? Jeez. Yes, I got a card at Pfizer Forum because I didn't sit in my own seat.
Drake gets to go up to an NBA coach and touch his shoulders during the fourth quarter of a playoff game.
Yes. How about that?
Garbage.
Drake can do whatever he wants on the sidelines.
Because he's an ambassador, which team has except for the Raptors.
But it was a Marquette game I did it at. So,
okay.
I sat and stuff. I didn't sit in my seat because there was action going on. I wasn't going to disturb anybody and the usher. But yeah, I moved beyond that. The Bucks called me in on that. But you know, the Bucks should be calling the NBA to help break the sit his ass down.
414-799-1250. I'm with you, Frames. 414-799-1250. Chris is in Oak Creek. What's up, Chris?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias to you, senor.
Guys, I think NBA, you know, Bucks fans needed to look at that series with Detroit and look at that series with the Celtics, and they should have taken that with a grain of salt. Let's be honest. I mean, they really didn't have any type of challenge when they faced Detroit. They were facing, you know, of his former self, you know. And then you were looking at a discombobulated Celtics team. Of course, the Bucks were going to whip them around, and they beat them handily. And I think the fans thought that this would happen again with Toronto. I think this is a wake-up call right now. If you noticed in the series with Detroit and the series with the Celtics, they were talking about not making any adjustments, following the course of action. This doesn't fly with the Toronto Raptors. You're facing a legit team that is equally as impressive as the Bucks. I mean, on every front.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, we got Giannis, but they got Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we got Bledsoe, but they got Kyle Lowry. And up and down, you know, if you look at this series was going to go seven games. And anyone who said this series was going to go four or five just really doesn't follow NBA or looked at those two previous series and thought this is a walkthrough. Good day, guys.
Well, we're in the championship round. You know, we're in the championship round. You know, we're in the Eastern Conference championship round. So, yeah, I mean, the four teams here, I mean, although I thought Golden State was so much better than Portland, and Portland gave them a fight, though. I mean, that's why Portland got to the championship round. They gave them a fight in, you know, three of those four games. But I still think, the Bucks are the better team. As much as, good call, but it's just, I think the Bucks are a better team. And the Bucks blew through Detroit, Bart, because they're that much better than Detroit. And the Bucks played, you know, the Bucks played well in four games to win handily like they did. And in the Boston series, the Bucks were the better team. The Bucks played well in that series, the final four games. Bucks have not played well in these last two games, but Toronto has something to do with it. And again, because Toronto's a good team too. And we're in the championship round. Bucks are still better, though.
You know, I feel like half of being a sports radio host is defending things you say and then telling people you said things different than what they think they heard you say. Like, I have been very complimentary of Toronto all season. I've said if there's any team that is going to stop the Bucks, it's going to be Toronto. I bought into Toronto after they made a video that said basically Vince Carter, DeMar DeRozan, you mean nothing. This is a new time now. I've bought into Toronto all year. I thought they were the toughest threat, including Boston and Philly. But when we got to this series with the way the Bucks have been playing, I just think that what I maybe got wrong was I think the Bucks are very, very good. Like, they should be in the finals. And I think Toronto is the second best team in the East. And I think they're very good. So while I might have got the gap right between Toronto and like Philly and Boston, I think maybe I thought the gap between the Bucks and Toronto was bigger than it actually is. And you've got Kawhi Leonard out there who is hobbling around, still like the best player on the court at 35%. You've got a bench that's stepping up in Ibaka, who I don't think the Bucks have anybody that can muscle with him down there. The Bucks' big guys, I mean, Brooke Lopez, sure. Mirotić isn't going to go crazy on the glass. That's never been part of his thing. So I think there's problems that the Raptors are presenting that I think us all maybe didn't foresee that the Raptors would give Milwaukee.
And the Raptors got a little postseason experience under their belt. Giannis said it himself the other night. You know, I've not been through this before. This is new for me, being in the conference finals. Several of those Raptors, including Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard's been in NBA title games. I mean, Kawhi Leonard knows what this is all about. you know, this is a walk in the park for him. The Giannis, our superstar, has not been down this road before. All right. Doesn't mean that he can't play well, but this is a new experience for him. But I think he, I mean, at the free throw line, you touched on it a little while ago. He clearly looks rattled at the free throw. When he goes to the free throw line, the crowd senses blood, and you could tell he's just very tentative at the free throw line. That's what happens when you shoot air balls. Air balls should never happen at the free throw line. And when a guy is shooting an air ball free throw, it's either his legs are tired or he is being tentative. And I think it's the other way around. I think Giannis is tentative at the free throw line. That says a lot.
I think he is playing a little scared. I think the whole Bucks team was playing a little scared.
To start the game, though.
No, they came out right away. Giannis was throwing it down. And, yeah, mm-hmm. I thought, wow.
But yeah.
As soon as maybe it was the air ball, because the crowd, that Toronto crowd, they've got a lot of pent-up frustration over the last 5 years mm-hmm. of running into LeBron. And they want this as bad as we do, if not more.
They do.
And you could feel that last night. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Let's go to Kenny, who's in Georgia. Is that right, Georgia?
Yes. What's up, man?
How are you, Kenny?
How y'all doing, man? This is my second time calling. You know, I'm a long, long time listener. I lived in Milwaukee from 76 to 07. And then, first of all, I just want to talk about, you know, my fandom for the Bucks. You know, I started following the Bucks literally as soon as I got to Milwaukee as a kid. So I've been watching a lot of Bucks games, Packer games, and Brewer games as long as your callers have been alive. And I just hear a lot of panic and a lot of this and a lot of that. And when Giannis first got to Milwaukee, I told my cousin, I said, give him a couple of years. I said, I think we have something. And when I told him that, I said that we would be contenders. I didn't say that we would have a title. And Giannis is very, very good. But we don't have a superstar yet. Giannis needs to develop a jumper. And I guarantee not even the Great Wall of China would be able to stop this kid. I mean, when you have a handle the size that he is, a handle and you develop a jumper, oh, my God. So I think we need to just realize that, like you said, the caller said before, this is a good experience for him. And I don't think that this is our time, although I would love to. I thought we would be contenders, but I didn't think we would contend for a title. But I always had them in seven for this series. My second point is, why are we not using Tony Snell for defense where Mirotić is like, where was Mirotić on defense last night?
Yeah, Mirotić was bad.
Oh, my God, man. It was very, you know, the first defense is predicated on team defense. And if there's one cog in the wheel, that wheel is going to be broken. And it was so evident in the last two games, it was appalling. And I'm like, what's going on? Where's everybody's head at? And that's what led me to believe that, you know, there's a little, not discontent, but a little, not being scared, but a little worried.
Yeah, Kenny, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening all these years. They play with trepidation last night. And, Chuck, I'm going to say something that I maybe shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it. I would almost rather have Thon Maker in the series than Mirotić.
No, that's ridiculous.
I would almost have Thon Maker in the series.
Want Thon Maker in the series. We saw him against the Bucks when he played for
Hey, playoff Thon happened in Toronto. Playoff Thon happened in Toronto.
Did you see Thon against the Bucks a couple weeks ago?
Well, he was against Giannis.
Who's going to guard them? Who's going to guard a Toronto? Man, he's guarding stars there, too.
I want the Thon Maker that did a running knee jump into that guy in the FIBA World Championship when he was with Team Australia.
So in other words, you're saying John Horst made a horrible trade.
No, I'm looking at what you got to do right now is look at the rest of the series, not the rest of the season. You got to just look at these three games, and I'll get more into this point in just a moment, because I think what the Bucks might need to do, and maybe I'm going to be overreacting here, but you look at these, you got to look at these three games differently than any of the other 95 you've already played. You put everything out the window and you do what's best for these next three games. And we'll talk more about that coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
You know, obviously Toronto came and played well. They made a lot of shots. I said earlier, early and often, you know, they made a lot of shots. And their crowd was great. They had a lot of momentum going. And, you know, it was tough. They did a good job, again, on the offensive glass. I thought that brought them a lot of energy. Second chance points are always tough. They're kind of backbreakers. And they have to do a better job of controlling that.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman in Canada. Thanks to our friends at Robert Hack Diamonds, Hupi and Abraham, and the Q Club of Wisconsin. You're home to watch all the playoff action while enjoying their huge indoor game room on Facebook or QClubOfWI.com. Brooke Lopez, who you just heard from last night, just 8 points, only took a handful of shots, made some deep threes. Nikola Mirotic, 4 of 10, 2 of 8 from distance, just 11 points. I think that what the Bucks need to do is see what happened in the last four games and then use their lineups differently in the next three. So do I think the Mirotic for Thon trade was good? Yes. And I think that if the Bucks play Golden State, you know, Mirotic is going to have a big role in that series. And I just think that you don't play the same team with the same 8 guys. You find the strengths of your team against that team, and you act accordingly. The same way that Norman Powell only seems to be good against the Milwaukee Bucks is the same thing that the Bucks have to do to find the guys that are good against the Raptors. And I'm almost a little bummed that Budenholzer didn't try some things last night. You could have put Snell in earlier to see what that looks like. You could have put DJ Wilson in to see if he could get you some boards and play better defensively. I think defense needs to be stressed here in game 5, 6, and possibly 7. And if Mirotic is not bringing that, and if he's cold, I think there's got to be a quick hook on him. The first thing I do is I take him out of the starting rotation and I go back to the Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Giannis, Lopez lineup, the lineup that was so good for you throughout the season. You bring in Mirotic off the bench if you need to. You bring in Hill. Maybe you play Ersan or Connaughton a little more. I think you're going to have to be more creative with the guys that you're throwing out there in these next couple of games, because this team that they played last night, they're at least not going to win again in Toronto if they have the same strategy.
I just think it's kind of a panic move to do some of those things.
I think it's okay to panic. A lot of people won't make the necessary moves because it's a panic move.
But you're one seed. Here's what you rolled on the dice here. That third quarter, you know, you're within 10. Third quarter, you know, you've been playing well all year long in the third quarter, and you were going to come out. Going to Snell, I don't think was going to help in that series. The guy's ice cold. He hasn't played barely any minutes.
But we need him defensively.
Well, I just think you need offense. Who would you play? You'd play Snell in place of Mirotic?
Yes.
Boy, you're getting awfully small there, though.
Well, Mirotic doesn't do anything as a big anyway. He's biting on pump fakes, and he's not doing anything defensively.
He only had 2 rebounds.
He's not giving you any rebounds.
Yeah.
You get Snell in there with the length. I mean, DJ Wilson, Bucks fans were calling him a mini Draymond Green this season. Yeah. Because they at least get down there and throw his body around.
Nice. But you know what? If Brogdon plays better than he did, Hill plays better than he did, and Bledsoe carries his weight, team wins the game. You're banking on these, you know, you're solid 8 guys playing well. Ersan plays better. Connaughton gives them some better minutes. There's guys who failed last night, and that's the reason why they lost. You know, I mean, Snell was not good. You know, Mirotic didn't play well, but you traded, you know, and got him, and he's been helping you, and he's been good all year.
But what in game 5 is going to be the answer for Ibaka crashing the glass and owning you there? What's going to be the answer for that? They don't have one. I don't think the Bucks have a guy for him to out-rebound him.
He had 17 points last night, and yeah, he had 13 boards. But I think there's other areas that, you know, you have to make it. The Raptors got to have an answer for what you do. And it seems like right now they have. I think if they kept this same thing going and just get better play from some of these guys, they're going to be fine. They went 9-1. They won 9 of the first 10 playoff games. They won the first two of this series. Let's not forget, they won the first two games of the series. They're a better team. Some of these guys, though, aren't playing well. And yeah, I think you have to ride them out.
I think my overall point is, and you can look at the things like I say Snell over Mirotić, and you can agree or disagree. And again, I'm not Coach Bud, and he knows this team better than me, etc. The overall bigger point that I'm making is that I think too often we say the phrase, go with what got you there. And then teams do that, and they fail to make adjustments, and then they lose. The fact that the Bucks won 60 games and the fact that the Bucks were 9-1 or whatever in the playoffs until these two road games, that was good enough to get them here. Will it be good enough to get them to the NBA Finals? Or do they have to make some adjustments? Budenholzer's been putting guys in and out of the lineup all season. It's not like we haven't seen DJ Wilson play this year. It's not like we haven't seen Sterling Brown play this year. He's been riding the hot hand in those cases. Pat Connaughton was getting 20. He was leading in minutes in the Detroit series, and now he's only playing about 14 a night. So Budenholzer's done that throughout the season. I just think when teams say, well, go with what got you there, when what got you there gets stonewalled, you don't continue to do that. You have to find changes. Too often we go with that sunk cost prophecy where it's like, this is what got me there. This is who we are. This is what I got to do. We play our game. But your game is getting stifled by a team that seemingly has figured out what your game is. So that's why I think that if there are adjustments, this is the time to make them, not in hindsight after you get bounced by losing four or five games of the Raptors after you had a 2-0 lead.
But I still think it's only two games. You lost two games here. And I don't think it's time to just make those wholesale changes just yet. Yeah, if you want to put Brogdon back in the starting lineup, okay, whatever. But I think going that deep in is with Snell and if you're going to throw Sterling
Brown,
but
it's not that deep. It's not like I'm talking Tim Frazier here. I'm talking guys that had big time minutes. That Snell started games this season.
Yeah,
Wilson started games this season.
Mirotić,
these guys are part of, they're part of the depth that we love about the Bucks so much. So tap into that when, in case of emergency, break glass.
Yeah,
the Raptors went to Jody Meeks earlier in the season because they thought he might be a guy that would do it for them. Now, he did not, but the Bucks have better of those emergency guys.
Do you think Tony Snell is better than Mirotić?
I think in this series, I would rather have Tony Snell playing than Mirotić.
Really? Well, just because Mirotić has not looked good in the last two games.
Because he doesn't bring anything defensively. Big Money tweets in at the Fan. If Toronto did what got them there, we would have swept them. They obviously made adjustments to their defense in Game 3, and it's working. Now the Bucks need to adjust. It's a seven-game series, not the regular season. Teams pick up your tendencies. It sounds like you just want to keep doing status quo, and I think you need to make adjustments. It sounds like you're anti-adjustment.
You got to have adjustments, but some of your guys got to start playing better. You can't hit Brogdon.
But they're not, so you got to pull the plug.
On Brogdon?
No, on Mirotić.
Mirotić, he's going to be fine. There's other guys in this team who are a lot bigger problem than Mirotić.
You play Mirotić 25 minutes a game the rest of the series, you're going home.
No, that's not true. Did you think that after game two?
No, Chuck.
But you think so after the last two games?
Yes.
You're just ready to.
Yes.
Why can't you
look at something and change your mind on it? Why don't you like adjustments? Why don't
I like
you
like adjustments.
Opinions? No, your adjustment is, start Brogdon over Mirotić.
Tony Snell starting?
That's nothing.
Tony Snell starting to play all of a sudden?
Tony Snell playing would be an adjustment I would make pronto.
No. You're kidding me.
You're getting killed defensively.
Oh, Tony Snell, no. And you want him shooting you out of games? And you want him shooting threes? You want him coming in and shooting? No.
Can we get the traffic cop in here?
What's up, guys?
Ryan Horvat.
Yeah, I want Snell in this series over Mirotić, too, Frames. I'm sorry. I like Nico when he's good.
He lost two games.
Why won't you make adjustments?
No, has nothing
to
do with
games. Did you ever
make
adjustments when you took a...
This has been Mirotić's entire career.
Chuck, you don't... Snell?
Yeah.
Putting Snell in this game is going to...
I'll take
you
DJ.
Think, you feel better about this team if Snell's playing?
DJ, too. DJ Wilson over
you feel
Mirotić
better if
DJ
Wilson's
now.
Playing.
Mirotić,
oh my God.
Mirotić is a liability out there
just
right
because
now.
You want a girls' state championship as an assistant coach doesn't make you James Naismith.
Oh, just because you played soccer, you can make a change in this?
Hey, easy with the shots here. We're all on the same team, guys.
Why are you bringing soccer into this? Let me just talk a little bit about Miritich, girls' basketball.
Right? I mean,
because you think you're smarter than basketball than me and Horvat, and you probably are. You are. You know more about basketball than me. I will never challenge you on that. But you are also very, very slow to make changes when changes are necessary.
No, because I think if you keep trotting out Miritich against Ibaka,
you're gonna lose a series in six.
All right, remember that. If Miritich stays in the lineup and the Bucks win this series, we'll come back to that.
He will stay in the lineup. Bud is not going to make that adjustment. No, he's going to stick with the same guys. But no. I'm telling you, I mean, even DJ Wilson, more athletic, he's faster. I like him on Ibaka better. I'm not going to lie. I love Nico when Nico's good. But when Nico's bad and he's streaking, I'm not just talking about the offensive end. He's a liability out there right now defensively, too. He's giving you nothing on the glass. At least DJ's going to go out there and give you effort. I mean, Snell's been rotten on the bench, so he's going to go out there. He's going to give you effort. He's a lengthy defender. I'm not worried about knocking down shots right now. Miritich has missed 27.
He has missed 27 of his last 35 threes.
Yeah, Bledsoe could rot on the bench.
Okay, Bledsoe has been the liability.
Oh, he's been
Everybody realizes Bledsoe has been a liability in the last two games.
Yeah, he's been
terrible. What do you do with him? You bench him, too?
Yes.
Yeah. To be honest with you.
So you're just not going to play him?
No, I mean, I'm going to play him. I'm probably going to play him starter minutes, and I'm going to use him. I'm going to play him the first 5 minutes of the first quarter. I'm going to play him the first 5 minutes of the third quarter and let that dictate. And then George Hill, I'm going to roll with the hot hand.
You play the regular season different than you play against the Celtics.
No, Hill wasn't
good. Then you play against the Warriors. Then you play against the Raptors. Right now, the Bucks can't think about the regular season.
They can't think about the Warriors.
They got to think about how do you beat Toronto in a best-of-three series. And so I would make changes. I would play DJ. I would play Snell. I would start Hill.
Oh, man, but you're just – I think I'm not ready for change. I think you're too quick to have
the Bucks
a knee-jerk reaction
that
on
got
this
here
team. You're just,
should be down 3-1 in this series right now. They should be down 3-1.
But they're not. It's an even series. And so right, you're saying
no,
with the same rotation, with these same guys, you're thinking the Bucks can't win the series with these guys they're going with right now.
They will not win the series if they continue to trot out the same lineups and same minutes. Correct. They have to make a change.
I disagree.
And that's why I like the Bucks to get to the finals all season, because they have the depth to make those changes, and they have the depth to match up against teams. You can't just have – it's like if you're a boss, you can't manage the same person the same. You have to manage people differently. The Bucks have to manage these series differently. You play against the Raptors different than you play against Golden State. Well, then he's got to do – you don't seem to.
You don't seem to know that. But Tony Snell's not my answer.
You got to have an answer somewhere.
No, not Tony Snell.
Nico Miritich has missed – what is that stat again that Grant sent me? 27 of his last 35 threes.
Yeah, he's not been good.
And that's the thing. He's not giving you anything offensively. He's giving you nothing defensively, so he's a liability. That's why I'm saying – I mean, if DJ Wilson's going to go out there and give you nothing offensively, at least he's going to give you effort on the defensive glass,
Number one problem is Eric Bledsoe right now, not giving him anything.
All right, then start George Hill.
Agreed.
Well, George Hill gave him nothing last night.
But at least he defends.
George Hill's not starting.
Right.
George Hill is gonna continue to come off the bench. Now Brogdon may start. Brogdon might be the adjustment there. But they'd go smaller if they put Brogdon in the lineup for Miritich. You know, they'd go a little smaller. Miritich has got to start grabbing some rebounds too. And what the problem with the Bucks is their defensive rotation has been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raptors are such good. They passing that ball around the perimeter, and Leonard was such a good facilitator last night. And, I'm looking at the open shots. The corner three, Pascal Siakam had a couple of open looks, didn't drain him, but, you know, he's wide open and been wide open in the corner. Powell, too. Powell had a couple of nice looks last night. He took 13 threes, for crying out loud. He took maybe too many threes last night. But Vliet was a guy who got open looks. They let him have some open looks. But Giannis said this after the game. He said, you know what? We will live with other guys other than Leonard getting shots in this series. I'm good with some of these other guys shooting, but not Kawhi Leonard.
Well, that's what I said last night. When I tweeted out, I said the Bucks are going to win this game, and I got killed because they didn't come out with any energy in the second half that I thought they would. But I said, You're not going to get beat by. I mean, Kyle Lowry, Ibaka, and Powell combined for 40 points in the first half. They were lights out. I said that's not going to happen in the second half. Kind of did. It's not going to happen, though, when you come back to Milwaukee. Like, and that's exactly the point right there, Chuck. Kawhi Leonard's going to get his points. He's going to put up his stats. But you can't get beat by Powell. You can't get beat by Kyle Lowry. You can't get beat by Ibaka. The role players, your bench has to be better than Toronto's bench. It has been all season long. And I just feel like right now the Bucks look shook. Like, especially towards the end of that game, even Giannis on the bench, everybody just looks like they've seen a ghost. Like, they're kind of shocked. Like, maybe they thought they were going to cruise in this series because they went up 2-0. It was kind of effortless. I mean, the whole entire postseason has been. You ran through Boston outside of game one, and now I feel like you finally ran into a brick wall, and you're shocked because for the first time you have to face some adversity. I mean, the Bucks have barely lost two games at all.
But we climb over that wall. Chuck wants to keep running into it head first.
No. I'm telling you what, they will get back home tomorrow, and it'll be a new day. This happens to teams when they go on the road, the playoffs, mm-hmm. man. This happens in the playoffs where teams can't get out of their own way on the road. Not surprising. I thought they'd win at least one of the two games here, but you watch. They'll get back in their home arena on Thursday night, and you'll see a different team. I think you will. I think the Bucks will win Thursday night. I'd be shocked if they lost.
799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. We're Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, where the strawberry freshtival is in full season. It's spring at Perkins. And you know what that means. That means strawberries. Fresh, ripe, juicy strawberries, like the ones they use for the new limited time fresh strawberry crepes. You can also get the fresh strawberry croissant French toast and the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platter. Strawberries are not just for breakfast. They've got them sprinkled all over lunch and dinner choices, too, such as the fresh strawberry salad. It's Wednesday, so you get to buy one, get one when you use the e-coupon at PerkinsRestaurants.com. Sign up for their e-club and take advantage of that today. You've heard us bicker. We'll hear from you guys, 799-1250 here on The Fan.
Why settle for just a job when you could have a career in the exciting automobile?
We've been playing good basketball, you know, the whole year, obviously. And if you lose one or two games, you know, it's not the end of the world. We realize, you know, where we are right now. We realize the opportunity that we have. But at the end of the day, you know, we build habits, you know, all season long. So we're not going to lose, you know, our confidence. We're going to keep believing in our habits, you know, keep trusting one another. And it's going to take care of itself.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Chuck Freeman in Canada, where he will be returning for game 6. That's some good news, right, Freems?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting up Memorial Day weekend, like at 4 a.m. in the morning, Saturday and Sunday. That's great.
The minute Memorial Day weekend ends, Chuck is already planning his next Memorial Day weekend. Am I correct on that?
Labor Day usually, yeah.
Okay, so the minute Labor Day ends,
I feel like you get on me for like enjoying a Memorial Day weekend. I love golf.
No, I'm not getting on you.
I love having a good time.
I'm just setting the scene for the listeners that maybe don't quite know how much you love.
Yeah,
the 3-day weekends that summer provides.
I love golfing. I love going out and doing stuff and all that.
And now you got to spend it in Canada.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, half of it at least, but
golf course in Canada, perhaps.
There's a couple of golf courses right near here, but I'm not going to have time. Mm-hmm. I'll be out here to do the game Saturday, so won't have any time to golf on Saturday. It's just fine. This is part of the business. This is what we sign up for in the broadcast business, man. If you got to work holidays, you got to work holidays. You got to do these things. Got to work weekends. This is what it is, man. This is the fun part about it. Hey, we wanted to be in the postseason. We wanted to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So this is. This is the life we live, man. This is what we ask for.
And I'll be here Thursday night doing the post-game show.
Yeah.
I'll be in on Thursday, talking some Game 5. Not quite going to Canada, but going across town at night is a huge leap for me, so yeah. I'll be making that sacrifice.
Yeah. Too bad the game didn't fall on Friday, because that's my night to host.
Yeah, Friday's a Horvat night.
Damn it.
Yeah. I got Thursdays.
God's
plan.
Well,
bring Horvat. Why don't you come on in?
Come on in.
Okay.
Water's warm, bud.
You want some bear time, Harvey? Go on in.
I don't want to be the co-pilot. No, I'm just kidding.
799-1250. Let's hear from you guys. Either. You've been hanging. We appreciate that. Billy's in Brown Deer. Billy.
Hey, Billy.
What's going on, guys?
What's good?
Did you guys know that Kyle Lowry is the best point guard in the Eastern Conference?
He's playing like it.
Did you know that he is absolutely unstoppable? You cannot stop Kyle Lowry. You know that?
I'm learning about that.
All hail Kyle Lowry, the greatest point guard in the history of basketball.
Whoa.
I can't understand why no one wants to put a hand in anybody's face. We're talking this morning, and I like the talk, Bart. You said what I was waiting to hear. How come the kid from Michigan with the muscles can't get in the game? The kid from Michigan, it's waiting, patiently, quietly waiting, knowing he's more powerful than Miritich. Who got dunked on last night again? I called him the other day. We talked for a minute, and I said, no one gets dunked on more than Giannis, right?
You said that, yeah.
I said that, right? Did you see last night Giannis get in the poster?
Yeah, he did.
You see the,
yeah, Reggie Leonard Miller says, like, welcome to your Kodak moment, something he's trying to make a thing.
You know what? I'm going to appreciate Reggie for that because Reggie's serious. The only reason there's a Kodak moment is because Middleton didn't go down when Leonard with the one leg limped past him. He did a back cut with one leg. Bart, Chuck, what would you do in girls' practice back in the day if a girl let somebody with one leg limp past him on a back cut? How many laps would they run, Chuck?
Well, if they were on one leg, they wouldn't be out there.
How many laps would they run?
Oh, God, I don't know. That's 28.
I gotta know.
Yeah, I've seen more basketball. Man. Trust me, I've seen more basketball.
It's over right now. We should just accept it. We gonna get to the finals, but we got a lot of work to do, y'all. A lot of work to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew it. We knew going in, Billy. A lot of work. Yeah, of course, there's a lot of work to do. We knew going into this postseason this wasn't going to be easy. We keep saying that, but it's true. I think the Bucks are still going to win this series. I still think. I'm not in panic mode. I'm a little surprised they didn't win one of the two games here, but I'm thinking they're going to come back and win this one. I'd love to see them win Game 6 in Toronto here on Saturday night. You know, just kind of finish off and, you know, in your face to win one game at least in this place. That'd be great. But I still feel real good about their chances.
Ryan's in Watertown. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. The reason I called in this morning and what prompted me to even listen, I didn't want to listen after the game last night because I was disappointed. I didn't. And part of it, though, was Bart, you had your little blurb that popped up on Facebook this morning talking about Drake. Last night, I
so it works. Social media works.
It does. Okay. Yeah, us millennials, us 43-year-old millennials out there, we're watching.
Good. I'll let the rest of the nation station know that.
Yeah, but last night during the fourth quarter, I saw some more of Drake's antics. I had just cracked a Pabst, and I saw him running around, and I think he was, you know, grabbing Nick Nurse by the shoulder or something like that. And I think I just fired my Pabst across the room and I shut the television off and I went and I watched the last half an hour of The Voice. And I even hate that show. It wasn't because of the Bucks playing. I think we're all jumping out, off the ledge right now with the Bucks. I still think that now that we get to this 1-1-1 situation, I had originally said I thought this series would go to 6. I think it still is, and I think we win it in Toronto on Saturday. But I do agree, you can't keep putting Miritich out there. He's just toxic right now. I think he might be better against Golden State, but this stuff that's happening right now, they need to make some subtle adjustments. And I think they will once they bring it back into Milwaukee. And again, it's the fever pitch around these arenas. You know, even with Drake and his moron acts on the sideline and stuff, it's fever pitch for two teams that have never been up at the top of the NBA. They love them in their prospective cities. I can understand, you know, everybody gets behind Toronto, that they feed off the crowd up there, and it wasn't going to be an easy series. I just want people to relax, though. This isn't, we're not dying here. We'll be all right, but we do need to replace Miritich, and we need to. The NBA needs to do something about that thing with Drake on the sideline. Just because you're an ambassador doesn't mean you have to be an idiot.
What are the Bucks going to do about Kyle Lowry? How about that problem? We haven't talked about that. I mean, Kyle Lowry's killed him. 25 points last night, getting open looks, wide open shots. He's a good player, and has not been real consistent. You know, some people say he's like the most overrated 5-time All Star ever. But the bottom line is, he's been an All Star. He's getting paid a lot of money. And he's been good. He's been good in this series, man. He's the guy who's been a problem for the Bucks. Lowry has been a big time problem for the Bucks.
Yeah, I think we're guilty. We all Bucks fans, most of overlooking what his role would be in this series a little bit. Sherman's in Tosa, 799-1250. What's up, Sherm?
Hey, fellas. Okay, bear with me here a minute, and I agree with everything all you guys have said. Let me say this.
How is that possible?
Well, because everyone makes good points. You know, in this series, adjustments have to be made. Toronto, the first two games, he didn't play the same players in games 3 and 4 that he played in 1 and 2. When he looked at the film, when he went to Toronto, he put Ibaka, Norman Powell, and Vance Light on the floor. They didn't play here in Milwaukee. Okay, so now we got to counter that. You know, DJ Wilson, Sterling Brown, and Bledsoe, he's kind of, you can see his frustration. If his offense isn't going good, he gets frustrated, and then he's moping. You know, we can't have that right now. Kyle Lowry ain't never played good in the playoffs. All of a sudden, against the Bucks, he's 25, 30 points a game. I put Sterling Brown in the game simply to guard Kyle Lowry. He's 3 inches taller. If you look back at the Philadelphia series, the height bothers Lowry. You know, Sterling Brown's a good defender, or even George Hill. And your job is simply to hold this guy. Ersan Ilyasova, I love it when he take a charge or so, but he's a liability more so than Mirotic on defense. They're putting him in the pick and roll at the top of the three-point line every time down the court. And once they get the switch they want, he's too slow to keep up. And there's no way there someone else has to come over to try to help on him, and then the man in the corner is wide open. Ersan has to sit down in this series. He's too slow. He's not bringing nothing. I bring DJ in. DJ has to play more. He's the energy guy. You know, he's been that all year. Tony Snell for the defense, or Norman Powell. Norman Powell and Vance Leak always play good against the Bucks. So I'm going to put Snell in when Norman Powell comes in the game. I'm not going to let him get off. He's not going to get 1 3-point shot and then get into the game. We have to make adjustments, man. That's all a part of coaching. That's all a part of any playoffs. We got to win 2 of 3 now.
That sounds like household changes you're making there.
Why is that a bad thing? You've got a deep team. Household. You've got a team. These guys are all good. It's not like you're.
They are?
Yes.
Tony Snell's good?
Yes.
You think Tony Snell's good?
Yes.
I think Tony Snell has a purpose. We pay him $12 million a year for something.
Yeah, what a bad contract, too.
Well, whatever it is, man, but he can play defense. I'm not saying Tony Snell is the NBA MVP. I'm saying in this series, he has a purpose. We can use him and get some for our $12 million. You know, this isn't a referendum on who's the best player. It's about matchups.
Yeah, you got to just win these next three games.
If I would have asked you yesterday if Tony Snell's good, you wouldn't have said yes, emphatically yes.
Chuck, you are confusing the guys that are 10 through 15. You're just assuming they're bad. The Bucks that are 10 through 15 on the bench are better than the Bucks that were 6 through 10 last year. They have a deep bench. They have a deep, deep bench. The first time that I looked at this team and said they're going to the finals was when DJ Wilson got major minutes in December, because I realized if they have to go that deep, they can. They're all good. They all have a purpose. They all have a role. Would I build my team around Tony Snell? No. If we did a fantasy draft in the playoffs right now, do I take Tony Snell? Probably not. Is there a role for him in this series? Absolutely.
Boy, that's the first you've ever said anything about Tony Snell.
Chuck, I say that.
Don't panic.
God, series. I hate when you do that. I hate when you do that.
Series is on the line.
I hate when you do that.
Bucks are going to win this series. Come on, Bart.
I can never say anything for the first time.
Fight through.
Wow.
Fight through.
Why don't you
Fight
take the
it.
Boat that is our
we're
show
gonna,
and put more holes in it so the we're flood gonna, overcomes this entire operation?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.